You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Shine Lord Radio Show. Be ready to be inspired this morning by Pastor Jeremy Glenn of the Incredible Soil Church. This is the Power of Resurrection. We'll be back with more right after this.
All right. Good morning to everybody on this morning. This is Resurrection Sunday. That is right. Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's a special day. It's a wonderful day, and we have a lot to talk about regarding this day on today. I am Jeremy J. Glenn here, senior pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it SOIL, S-O-I-L. We call it SOIL Church because we want to inspire the love of Christ while we're growing in the soil. We want to grow in this soil. A seed cannot grow unless it is growing in the soil. So the seed, the word of God that's been planted, has fallen on good ground in our hearts, into our spirits. It grows in the soil, and that's what we want to do. We want to inspire the love as we also walk in the examples of the love of Christ. So I want to thank all of you for joining us on this morning, this Resurrection Sunday. I want to thank everybody on Zoom who so diligently joins us consistently every single Sunday. Thank y'all from the bottom of my sincere heart. And I want to thank y'all that have dialed in on Facebook Live, as well as those that are listening on We Talk Radio. I just want to thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning. And of course, I always have my better half right here, live, and right here, right there, right my, what do we call it? The Adam's rib, right? That's what Eve was. She was Adam's rib, and I want to thank God for my Adam's rib right here live on this morning. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive into the Word. We're going to dive into the Word. I understand that we've had some Easter egg hunts. I understand that we've had all kinds of Easter egg hunts and things regarding Peter Rabbit or Peter Cottontail or all of these. It ain't the Peter we want to talk about. But I do want to let us know that in spite of all of that, all the chocolate bunnies that we can receive, all the eggs that we can hunt for, there's a real reason why we celebrate this day. There's a real reason why we celebrate this day. It's almost like Christmas, how we can invite Santa Claus and Rudolph and all these things. But remember, the reason for Christmas was the birth of Christ. And the reason why we celebrate Resurrection Day is because not just of the death of Christ, but because he lives. And we are going to talk about that on today. Again, thank everybody that have joined us on Zoom. And I want to thank y'all that have joined us on Facebook Live as well. And also, I want to thank y'all for joining us on We Talk Radio. So last week, we had a message there. We had a message, and we talked about the washing of the feet. We talked about the washing of the feet. And I want to pick up from where we left off last week here, as we've been walking through the Word of God. As we've been walking through, we have been walking through the Word of God here, and we are definitely moving through the Word, moving through where we are right now. So I want to start with John 16 and 22. John 16 and 22 is where I want to start. And I want to read this scripture here. I want to read this scripture in John 16 and 22. It's coming from the New International Version of the Word. Okay, John chapter 16. And as we talk about in the Word, okay, the Bible is like two halves, right? We've got an Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. And we also have an Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, and we have a New Testament, Matthew through Revelations, okay? So I just want to say John is coming from the New Testament, okay? We've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those were four of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus, gave us four different accounts of their walk, their encounters, their experience with him. So John is one of those books of the gospel here. And John quoted himself as being the one that Jesus loved, the disciple that Jesus loved. And he had special love and special compassion for Jesus, unlike anyone else. So that is John's relevance to his particular gospel. So John 16 and 22, the New International Version of the Word says, "So with you," this is Jesus talking to the disciples, "so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." I'm going to read that again. And I want your spirit to hear what the word is saying directly to your spirit. I am talking to the spirit man on the inside of you. This word is speaking to your spirit. And I want you to feast on this word on today. I'm going to read that again. "So with you, now is your time of grief," sorrow, pain, okay, grief. Just think about what grief is. But I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. Our title on today's message is called The Power of the Resurrection. The Power of the Resurrection. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning because you rose, Lord. We thank you because you live through us, you speak through us, and you meet us where we are, and we thank you for your word that penetrates, your word that moves our spirits, that word that uplifts us, that word that inspires us and encourages us. Help us to walk in the spirit of inspiring love, Lord. And we thank you for that on today, Lord. I ask that you just renew our minds, renew our spirits, renew our hearts, Lord Jesus, as we come together as one, as we come together with the power of the community to hear your word, Lord Jesus, to just be uplifted, to be inspired because of the great act that you've done, the great act that you've done, Lord, which is why we're celebrating today. Today, Resurrection Sunday, Lord, we thank you for everything that you're doing through us. We thank you for everything that you're doing for us. And we thank you for speaking to us. And we thank you for using us. In the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Again, thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning. And I want to pick up from where we left off. So last week, we left off where Jesus shows us the power of humility. He shows us the power of humility by, remember, they were having dinner, and this was called the Last Supper, the last time that he was with the disciples. Okay, they were having dinner, and he does something that's so out of the ordinary. He stands up, and as a king, he unrobes himself. He unrobes himself, and he's left girded with a towel. He's left girded with a towel, because he laid aside his garments and being left with nothing but the towel because he was preparing himself to do an ultimate act, the washing of the disciples' feet. For those of you that may have missed the message last week, we talked about the washing of the feet and what that meant. It was symbolism for Jesus washing our sins away. We put them in the basin of salvation. This is why we go to the altar. We in unison, we come together as one. We listen. We position ourselves to be washed by Christ. That's the basin of salvation, so that he can wash our sins away. When we're living in the sandals of life, sandals have access to dirt, and dirt have access to sandals. So we get dirty. But Jesus, okay, did the ultimate act by washing the feet as symbolism for him washing our sins away. Now, he washed the feet of all 12 disciples during this time, including the feet of Judas. Okay? I want us to understand what that means and the significance of him washing Judas's feet as well. Okay? So he stands up before this happens. He looks at everyone. He's girded with the towel. He says, "One of y'all will betray me." Okay, Jesus, this is way outside the box here. What's going on? We don't understand. "One of you will betray me." "Peter, is it me, Lord?" "John, surely it's not me." John's laying his head on the bosom of Jesus. "Lord, it can't be me. It can't be me. One of you will betray me." And this came as such a shock and so unexpected to hear Jesus actually say that he is going to be betrayed. In John 13 and 21, Jesus looks at all of his disciples and says that one of you will betray me. But I want us to really think about that. Think about what that means. I want you to just really just kind of put your mind in the place in which we were and think about what could be going through the mind of the disciples hearing that. Because for 3 years, they have walked with this man. For 3 years, they have followed him. They have seen him do wonderful things. They've been in the trenches together. They have been handpicked by Jesus, first of all. He's nurtured them. He's taught them. He's inspired them. He's encouraged them. And the one that saw all of the miracles in feeding the 5,000, walking on the water on the Sea of Galilee, and all of them, out of everything that he's seen, somebody will betray him. And I want to say that out of all the people that betrayed him, Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus. He literally had the audacity to betray the Son of God. Remember Jesus. Go back to Genesis. Okay? When God said, let us make man in our image, Jesus was included in manufacturing mankind. And literally, the people that he manufactured turned on him, betrayed him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to listen to me. If Jesus, being the Son of God and who he was and his relevance to our lives, the heartbeat of our life, can be betrayed, we should not think that we are ourselves beyond betrayal. We should not think it strange if betrayal from someone, and here's the deal, that's close to us, someone that we've nurtured, someone that we've spent a great deal of time with, if that person happens to betray us. As a matter of fact, and I'll kind of let you guys into a little bit this week here. As I was deeply, deeply studying, and I've been studying this for a while here, as I was studying this message, the Lord this week dropped into my spirit that the betrayal was worse than the beating. The betrayal of those that he loved was worse than the beating. Betrayal runs deep, especially from someone that you're close to. Betrayal runs deep, especially from someone you thought that you could trust. Betrayal runs deep, especially when they said they would always be there for you and they would always have your back, but at the same time, sold you out for 30 pieces of silver. Let's talk about that for a second. What does that mean, the 30 pieces of silver? That's what Judas, when he went to the authorities, the Pharisees that were in on this, getting this Jesus guy out of commission because he's bothering our Levitical law. He's bothering the way that we've known things to be. He's interrupting the law. He's destroying some things that we've worked hard to build because he's out of the box and he has the audacity to call himself the Son of God. In the Old Testament, Zechariah records that Zechariah's a guy that prophesied it, that Jesus would be coming into Jerusalem lowly riding on a donkey, that prophet. Zechariah records that he was actually compensated a shepherd's wage for one day's work as a shepherd, 30 pieces of silver. Back then they called it shekels, but he was compensated 30 pieces of silver, one day's work, a shepherd tending sheep. Also, 30 pieces of silver has been recorded in the Old Testament as the purchase price of a slave. The purchase price of a slave. So in other words, the value that Jesus put on our Lord and Savior was a slave that did one day's work as a shepherd. He put the value on our Lord and Savior, the Alpha and the Omega, for one day's work as a shepherd at the purchase price of a slave. And he did it just to redeem us. Jesus accepted that just to redeem us. So as we're moving along in the story, Judas has already had his negotiations there. He was already plotting. He was already planning. Okay. And he left the dinner table with his feet, here's the deal, cleaned by Jesus. His feet were washed by Jesus just to go step in the mud pit of betrayal. The Lamb of God was sold out by a follower, not an associate, a follower, not someone that just claimed to have known him, a follower that followed him for 3 years of dynamic, impactful ministry for 30 pieces of silver. As I said a few moments ago, betrayal runs deep. I say it again, betrayal runs deep. And it wasn't just the betrayal of Judas. But remember, less than a week ago, okay, he was the king riding into Jerusalem. He was the king that was riding into Jerusalem. Remember the crowd that was waving the palms. Remember last Sunday being Palm Sunday, waving the crowds. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the one in the name of the Lord. The king of Israel has come. The king has come. They're waving the palms. They're happy. They're loving this. They're saying he's come to deliver us. He's come to free, to take us to the next level. We've been waiting on this guy. And now, within that same geographical area, that same geographical region, a crowd is now shouting, in less than a week's time, crucify him. Crucify him. My question is, was it some of the same people that witnessed the miraculous miracle of him raising Lazarus from the dead saying, crucify him? Betrayal runs deep. Was it Nicodemus, the guy that was taught by Jesus what it means to be born again, spiritually speaking? This crowd is shouting, crucify him. Was Nicodemus in that crowd? Was the woman that touched the hem of his garment, that dried up her issue of blood that she had for 12 years, was she possibly in that crowd chanting, crucify him? What about blind Bartimaeus, who received his eyesight and praised the Lord for giving him the eyesight, something that he wanted, something that he looked so desperately for? Was he in the mix, literally now being able to see, witnessing Jesus be tormented? And hear the crowd saying, crucify me, crucify him. What I want us to understand here is betrayal, in fact, does run deep. And that's something that the Lord had dearly placed on my heart this week. And surely, out of the 5,000 men, plus women and children, that received the blessing from being fed, remember the two fish and the five loaves of bread, remember all of that, remember the little boy that brought that lunch and Jesus gave it to God and blessed it, and everybody fed, and there were crumbs left over. Remember, there were remains left over from that. They ate good. They followed Jesus. They ate spiritually. They ate physically. Out of that number of people in the same geographical region, I find it hard to believe that there couldn't have been any of them mixed into the crowd saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Betrayal runs deep. Now, some of the previous messages, if you guys have been following our ministry here, some of the previous messages that we had, they're going to line up with this moment right now, but in an adverse effect. Think about this. People have turned on Jesus. They have turned on the miracle worker. They have turned on the guy that literally just raised Lazarus from the dead and was chanted. And remember that noise, that act that he did, it stretched all the way into Greece. The Greeks heard about it. Jews heard about it. Everybody heard about it. So now they're all loving him, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the king. And in less than a week, crucify him, crucify him. And what I want us to understand is that Jesus, the master relationship builder, is now experiencing, here's the word, the power of community to turn on him. They turned on Jesus. They turned on him. Because betrayal runs deep. Remember friends? How many of us have them, friends? Ones we can depend on. Where was Lazarus? Can somebody identify where Martha was during this time? Remember, he hung out with them. They provided home and space for him and the disciples to lounge and hospitality. Where were they? Where were they found? Where were the friends? Better yet, where was the family? Remember the power of the family. Where was the family? Where was James? Where was his other siblings? Where was Joseph? The Lord has let me know this. In spite of what was going on during that time, he's letting me know that somebody out there listening right now, you are today, right now today, you're going through a trial, and you feel like you're all alone and on an island. You're experiencing something. You're experiencing the deepness of betrayal. People that you never thought would turn on you. People that you never thought would turn their back on you, and you're experiencing that right now. This message is for you on today. This message is for somebody that has experienced the crucify him situation in their life. They loved you a few days ago, and now they want nothing to do with you. I want to speak to you on today. Jesus knows and Jesus cares exactly what you're going through. And although you may have to carry your cross all alone, you're never alone in this situation. You are never alone in what you're going through. You are never alone despite how long it may seem. You're going through the season of winter right now in your life. But I want you to know that Jesus has already been there, and he understands exactly what you're going through. He wants you to know that he's there with you today, and he wants you to know that he loves you. And he wants, most of all, what he wants you to know and to understand is that you can cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you. He cares about what you're experiencing. He cares about what you're going through. He knows that it hurts. He understands that betrayal runs deep. It hurts. It's painful. It does something to us, especially when those that are closest to us turn their back on us. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what Jesus experienced. And again, he dropped into my spirit that the betrayal was worse than the beating. The betrayal was worse than the beating. The beating was necessary because his blood had to shed. But the betrayal was worse than the beating. And right now, he understands that you're alone, you're going through this situation, and you're carrying this cross all by yourself. But just know that Jesus is there, Jesus loves you, and he cares for you. Now, I have a question for us on this morning. What is our motive for serving God? We just talked about all the people that experienced all the beneficial blessings. They got what they wanted from Jesus. Bartimaeus got his sight. The woman with the issue of blood got her issue dried up. Okay? Lazarus was raised from the dead. And everybody that Jesus, and the Bible doesn't even record all of the miracles that he done. John said, I believe it was John that said, there are so many things that was left out because the Bible would just be so full of all of the things that Jesus did. So we have to know that out of the crowd that said, crucify him, there were certainly those that benefited from his miracle working powers. How about the guy when they came to arrest Jesus after Judas shows up and he kisses him on the cheek with the kiss of betrayal? And Peter reacts, and Peter's emotion, and Peter takes a sword and slices the guy's ear off. One of the armed guards, he slices his ear off. And what does Jesus do? Still at work, still with service on his mind, takes his hand, puts it on the ear, and heals the bloody ear of the armed guard. But it didn't stop that guard from still detaining him and taking him in to be crucified. Not appreciating the bloodiness of his ear coming off and Jesus healing him, he couldn't say thank you. He didn't say, I'd appreciate it. He didn't say, stop, guys, we can't do this. He didn't say he has to be the Son of God. No. He got his benefit. He got what he wanted. He got what he needed and continued on with the persecution of Jesus. What's our motive for serving God? Why do we say we want to be used by him? Are we serious about salvation? Are we in this thing because we want the benefits of the power of the relationship that we have with Jesus? Are we in this thing because of what we can get? Are we in this thing because we want the blessings? Are we connected with people just because of what we can get from them, because of what we can get out of them? And is betrayal yet to come? My brothers and sisters, I want us to understand something on this morning. Christianity, as a whole, Christianity is losing its voice because we don't want to carry our cross. We don't want to carry the cross. We don't want to go through being ridiculed. We don't want to experience the cross. We don't want to experience being laughed at. We don't want to experience being condemned for what we believe in and for what we stand in, because we don't want the lashes that come along with the journey. We want the benefits, but we don't want the lashes. Okay, a Super Bowl winning team, it started in off-season. It started with getting your body into shape. You had to overcome resistance. You had to overcome those trials and those tribulations. And it wasn't good at the time. It didn't feel good at the time, but it was necessary. We have to understand we cannot get weary in well-doing. We have to understand that we carry our cross and we carry it alone. And sometimes when people that said that they would always be by us or not by us, we cannot let that discourage us. We cannot let that stop us. Because I want us to understand something. Jesus said to us in John 15 and 18 that the world hates you. Keep in mind that it hated me first. He experienced it first. He experienced the betrayal. He experienced being laughed at, talked at, teased, made fun of, called a liar, spat on. All the things that he experienced during this process, Jesus experienced it first. And I believe it was Paul that told us in Philippians 3 and 10 that to know the fellowship, and in some translations, the partnership, to know the fellowship, the partnership, the fellowship coming together, to know the fellowship of his sufferings is what Paul longed to know. Paul wanted to be a part of the sufferings. He wanted to be in fellowship with what that experience was like, because he understood that if you stay encouraged and if you just don't give up, that there's something coming on the other side. The trial is part of your trail. The trial, ladies and gentlemen, is part of your trail. So I want you to this morning be encouraged. Yeah, we know Jesus rose and we're going to get into that. But I want somebody out there right now to know, to be encouraged, because you are literally experiencing this right now on today. He would not have impressed this so hard on my heart this week that somebody is about to give up. They want to give in. They want to throw in the towel. They cannot handle this. You, sir, you, ma'am, you, boy, you, girl, you be encouraged and don't give up. Jesus has been there as well. You hold on and you stay in there. You keep on doing good and don't worry about your season, because that's just what it is. It's a season. It's not going to last always. Troubles don't last always. You may weep for a night, but there's something coming on the other side. Okay? So I want us to understand that. The trial is a part of our trail. The trial is a part of our trail. But just know that Jesus is right by our side. This is why he went through the suffering. This is why he went through the pain. This is why he went through the crucifixion, so he could relate to us and meet us, as we say all the time, where we are. Betrayal runs deep. And betrayal runs deep because Jesus washed the feet of Judas, who he knows is going to betray him, and attempts to show impartial love and servitude towards him anyway. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is an act of love. And Jesus is the ultimate gift of love. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 tells us that love is patient. We're talking about Jesus. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Jesus wasn't too proud to ungird himself and to wash the feet of the disciple, including the one that would betray him. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongdoing. Don't that sound like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It keeps no record of wrongdoing. As a matter of fact, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love keeps no record of wrongdoing. Love does not delight in evil, but love rejoices with the truth. And now I want us to talk about the truth briefly. I want us to talk about the truth. The truth is Jesus was about to take some lashes so that his blood could be shed for us. The truth is Jesus is about to carry that rugged cross so that the crucifixion could be completed. The truth is Jesus is about to hang on a cross and with the power of humility lay down his life. They didn't take it. He laid down his life because he had service on his mind. And the truth is that Jesus is about to experience all of this, experience those that betray him, because those that seem to kind of want to be on the fence, do we believe him? Do we not want to believe him? He died for them anyway. Jesus died for them that just sat on the fence. He died for them that are ashamed of him. He died for them that are too proud to claim that they love him, too proud to do what the Bible tells us to do, too proud to love their neighbor as they love themselves. Jesus died for that person anyway. And he died for those that would rather be a friend of the world and an enemy of God. And for those that despite everything he has done, everything that he has brought you out of, everything that he has shown you, everything that he has demonstrated on his three impactful, mightiful many years of ministry, he still had a doubting Thomas that still didn't believe he was the great I am. Jesus died for that spirit, for that person. That I don't want to believe it. I refuse to believe it. I don't care about this gospel. I don't care about what you said. He died for that person anyway, despite of there being a guarantee that you would love him back. Now, as we're going through the process of our story here, the disciples now, Jesus has been detained. Their leader has been captured. Their leader is now getting ready to go through one of the most heinous and brutal forms of punishment. They are saddened. They're upset. Their leader is gone. Peter, who upon this rock I will build my church, that guy, Peter, denies him three times. The significance of the number three. Three Hebrew boys. Jesus rises on the third day. Peter denies him three times. It's something about the number three. But out in public, when Peter was spotted by the authorities, the crucifixion was getting ready to take place, he said, no, I'm not one of them. Yes, you are. No, I'm not one of them. Yes, you are. I saw you. No, I'm not one of them. Yeah, we saw you with him. No, I'm not one. He denied him three times. But Peter felt very bad about denying Jesus. All the disciples were saddened because their leader was gone. John, I can see John right now just weeping and crying. I can see Nathaniel having a huge problem with this. They don't know to be upset and hurt because Jesus has left, or upset of the betrayal of Judas. Where is their minds right now? But Jesus had already told them in our opening scripture in John 16 and 22, so with you, now is your time of grief. Now is your time of grief. He's saying right now you're going to be grieving. You're going to be hurting. But look at your neighbor and say, there is a but. Text somebody right now and say, there's a but. Put on Facebook Live in the chat right now, there is a but. Because there is a but in spite of all of the situations that you're going through. There is a but despite of how painful it is right now. There is a but despite of how dark that it is right now in your life. There is a but because it's not going to last always. He says, but I'm here to tell you, I will see you again and you will rejoice. And no one, absolutely nobody, not anybody will take away your joy. Because after you have suffered a little while, restoration comes. After you have gone through the trial, victory is on the other side. Early in the morning. That but led to an early on the resurrection morning. Early, he was crucified, but early, a couple days later, early in the morning. I say it again, early on that following Sunday morning, Mary and Mary Magdalene went to the tomb of Jesus' body with spices. But they are about to encounter a real ghost pepper. They are about to go there with spices, but leave with some cayenne pepper, because Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, was not there. The stone was rolled away, and an angel came down and told them that the one you seek is not here. Because can somebody out there tell me on the day, because Jesus had got up from the grave, Jesus had risen, Jesus didn't stay down in death, Jesus did not allow death to take control, Jesus has risen, and we celebrate the resurrection day on today because he has risen. The betrayal may have happened, but there's going to be a but. The situation might have been dark, but there's going to be a but. It might have been real ugly and painful, but listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to be a but. And but if you hold on just a little while longer, but if you hold on and know that joy is coming on the other side, but if you don't get weary in well-doing, due season, he will rise in your life. And I want you to join me on today knowing that you're going to rise out of that situation. You're going to rise out of what's going on in your life. You're going to resurrect from that stronghold. You're going to resurrect from the deepness and the darkness of the abyss of sin. You're going to rise and resurrect, and you're going to have a new day. And I speak that prophetically into your life. Aren't we glad on to morning that Jesus rose from the dead? Aren't we glad that Jesus lives in our lives? Aren't we glad that Jesus is not dead? They received that good news. They appreciated that good news. They ran and told of the good news. They went and said that our Lord and Savior is still here. He did just what he said he was going to do. He rose just like he said he was going to rise. Nobody believed him, but we hung in there. We didn't give up. We had that season of grief. And Jesus rose, and he sits on the throne on today. Jesus rose, and he's still alive on today. Jesus rose, and because of that, you and I have access to salvation. You and I have access to resurrection. You and I have access to be able to live the life that he has called us to live. Up on my head behind me here, Jeremiah 29:11 says that he knows the plans that he has for us. He has plans to resurrect your situation. He has plans to resurrect your life. He has plans to take you from where you are and to take you from where he wants to send you. Jesus rose, not just for us, but he rose for those that don't believe him. And because he rose, because he got up, because death couldn't hold him, because death couldn't contain him, because of the fact that Jesus defeated death and has the keys of death in his hands, we will live forever and ever and ever. And I just want on today, I just want to inspire you. It may be dark right now. You may be carrying that cross about now, but just know that there is a but, and that but is going to come soon. That but is going to come sooner than you can imagine. That but is going to come early in the morning, because you may weep tonight, but tomorrow you can guarantee it, you are going to be smiling. Joy is going to come. Joy is going to be in your life. Joy is going to be in your situation, because Jesus got up with all of the power and all of the glory in Jesus' name. But I'm reminded as I close, and I thank all of y'all this morning, I'm reminded that he bled and he died so that I could thrive. That he took a beating for my exceeding. He took the nails for my excel. He was betrayed so my destiny was made. He didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. Jesus, I love you. I will always praise your name. He took the keys with nothing but ease. Sickness can't stay, and neither can disease. His resurrection gave us protection from danger seen and dangers unseen. He is the truth, the way, and the life. And if you want to see Jesus today, you must give him your life. Before we leave on tomorrow, on this morning, and before we go and barbecue and do all these other things, and I understand Easter is such a wonderful, wonderful day to come together, but somebody out there on today, it wouldn't do anything to tune in to Easter, to tune into a service on Easter, knowing that you're on the fence, knowing that you have not made your mind up, knowing that you're still living in those old ways, there is a but in your situation. And right now on today, I want to inspire you, I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to give your life to him on today. Join me in prayer. You can lift your hand up wherever you are. I don't care where you are. He rose for this moment. He rose so that you would have this opportunity. He rose so that you can lift your hand right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, there's a soul out there that's right now carrying a cross, that's right now carrying a burden, Lord. They are hearing the world's message. They're listening to the world's message. They are hearing that people are saying, this isn't true, this isn't real, oh, you don't believe that junk. Lord, their minds are cloudy. Lord, their minds are contaminated. Lord, the belief system is really under attack right now. But Lord, you got up. Lord, you're on the throne. And I pray for that person on this morning, Lord, that they come back to you, that they experience a resurrection in their life, that they experience the goodness, the greatness, Lord, that your salvation just saturates their mind, Lord Jesus. And wherever they are this morning, they can bring their feet to you. You will wash the dirt off of their feet, Lord. And you will resurrect their lives once again, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. It's not about fancy Easter suits. It's not about barbecue, and it's not about Easter egg hunt. It's not about any of that, because you are yet to come back, Lord. And when you come back, it's not going to be a situation where we can feel your hands and see the piercing in your side to determine if we want to believe in you. It's going to be too late. We won't have a doubting Thomas situation, Lord. We need to know you today, Father God, because when you come back, Lord, you're coming back for those that gave their lives to you, Father God. And right now, the resurrection needs to happen in our lives today, Father God. You said that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, and right now today, somebody's knee can bow, somebody's tongue can confess. Right now on today, Lord Jesus, they can believe that you are the Son of God, that you got up on today, you got up on the third day. They can turn from their ways, Lord, give their life back to you, to be used for your service, Lord, to be used for your purpose and your glory, in the plan in which you have for them, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to die of self, to die of the carnal thoughts, to die of the world's message, and to know that you're in charge of our lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you all the thanks. We give you all the glory, the might, and the power. And on today, Lord, bring somebody to you. Use this service, use this message, Lord, to convict the spirit of someone, to bring them to you. In the name of Jesus, resurrect their lives, Lord, so they can experience your glory, so they can taste and see that you are, in fact, good. In Jesus' name we pray on today. Amen. If you believed in that prayer, if you accepted the Lord on today, I want to congratulate you on Resurrection Sunday. You'll never forget it. Resurrection Sunday on 2021 is the day that you had your resurrection with Jesus. You had your resurrection on today, and I want to thank you for joining the team of believers. This is a team that never loses. This is a team that is still undefeated. And this is a team that will never lose, even if it's in the Final Four of the NCAA Championship. This is a team that you know is going to win. I want to thank all of you on this morning. God bless you. God keep you. Have a fantastic Resurrection Sunday, and we'll see you next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. All right, y'all. Have a good one.
God's got a blessing.
With your name on it.
With your name on it.
God's got a blessing.
All right. It is. Double, there we go. It is an absolutely amazing and wonderful day. I am super blessed, happy, excited that you guys got to hang out with me today. Man, it's been a blessing. Thank you all so very much from around the globe for tuning in to this incredible Shine Lord radio show with Pastor Jeremy Glenn of the Soil Church, featuring an incredible message of the power of the resurrection. And I know some of you are saying it's not Easter Sunday. I know it's not. But that's okay. This message still resonates even after Easter. So we're excited, super excited that we have Pastor Jeremy Glenn, a part of the We Talk Radio family, him and First Lady Glenn and the entire Soil Church. We want to thank all of you for allowing us to be a part of you and you to be a part of us. We appreciate that blessing. And we look to collab with incredible and amazing people around the globe. So if that's you, reach out to us on our website, wetalkradio.com, www.wetalkradio.com. Go there, and you'll have an opportunity to see all of the amazing things that we do. We even have a contact us page. Put your information in there. Reach out to us. Let us know what you do. You never know. Me and Mr. Jeremy Glenn, Pastor Jeremy Glenn, met many years ago when we were working on some projects together, and in a work format and a 9-to-5er kind of deal, even though it wasn't 9-to-5 job, what some would call a quote 9-to-5, and usually in the 9-to-5s you're not able. You don't have the ability to discuss, you know, salvation, so on and so forth, the power of God, so on and so forth. But God, he allowed us to connect, even though we never had those kinds of conversations because we were knee deep in the thicket working, putting stuff together. We had an opportunity to connect. Our ships did not pass in the night. Our ships continue to sail along together. And I'm telling you, I'm so blessed about that. God is so good, and he's blessed me with an incredible and an amazing pastor and a first lady and an extraordinary church that can be a part of the Shine Lord radio show every Sunday morning. So I got to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here and being amazing, just being amazing. I don't care if you've heard it today. I don't care if you've heard it in a month. You are absolutely amazing, not just because you are here, but because that's just who you are. And I just got to say thank you for just being you and nothing else. We got to thank the entire team. Cannot do it without them. Absolutely. It is absolutely an extraordinary and amazing team that we have. You guys can also check them out on wetalkradio.com under the team tab. You'll be able to see all of our fabulous team members here on We Talk Radio Network, and we're super excited about each of them, everything that flows and happens from the graphics to the production to the social media website, everything. Everybody has a full hand in making this happen. And we're just blessed. We're super excited about where God is taking us. We know that even though we've been in existence now almost 11 years, it's 11 years this month. Congratulations to, even though we celebrated in the month of May, because that's when all of our paperwork was official. The original idea for We Talk Radio Network came in April 11 years ago. So we're grateful, very, very grateful to still be here and still serving the community, still working with the community. I'm grateful. I am Kia D. I am one of the hosts of this incredible show. You also have T. Smiley, who hosts this show as well. And T. Smiley, actually, you can hear him every Saturday morning. He has an incredible show called The Cave Radio Show. It is a men's show. If you know of men who are absolutely incredible or need some encouragement or don't need encouragement, just want to talk or don't want to talk, whatever it is, send them on Saturday mornings to The Cave Radio Show. 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on We Talk Radio Network. And you guys can check out another amazing show tonight at 7 p.m. It's Brand New Day with Emily Blue and Deanne Lax. They are super fun, super fun, so energetic. You're going to love that show. Check them out. And then tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, you can come back for the Kia D Unplugged Show. We're going to be talking tomorrow about an amazing young lady that she literally was kidnapped. She's missing, and she's been missing for now over 6 months, and we are definitely concerned about her. And we've been talking about that tomorrow. We're actually going to do a follow-up to that call, interview and to that whole situation. We're going to do a follow-up on tomorrow. So we do have some more information, some more news for you. So definitely stay here locked into WeTalkRadio.com and check us out tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pastor Jeremy Glenn did a fabulous job praying us out today. So, again, I want to tell you thank you so very, very much for being here, a part of this amazing show. I'm going to usually what we do is we pray out and then we go. Pastor Jeremy Glenn did that. He did an amazing job. My job here is absolutely done. I feel like I have nothing to do with my hands right now. All right. Thanks, guys, so much for being part of the show. Shout out to T. Smiley.
Hello, everybody. Hope you all have an incredible Sunday. And hope you all enjoyed the word by Pastor Jeremy Glenn. And we will continue to pray for those that need to be need prayer and everything. And, yeah, we'll see y'all soon.
We will see you soon. Thanks so much for tuning into the amazing and incredible Shine Lord Radio Show, because I was about to say another name. Shine Lord Radio Show. Where we at, T-Smile?
We are here at the Shine Lord Radio, right here on We Talk Radio, tuned in here at 10 a.m. With your host, Ms. Kid D, and myself, T-Smiley. Thank you for tuning in to We Talk Radio. Y'all have a great and incredible rest of your Sunday. Amen.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Uh-huh. Yeah. Y'all might as well get with it. what y'all trying to do. We got to move on. We got to move on. Oh. Y'all want a few more minutes? Do y'all want a few more? What?
Radio Network is the fastest growing online talk and music radio station, broadcasting the highest quality shows available on the web. We talk, we listen, we take action. Using our unique services to inform, inspire, entertain, educate, and connect our diverse audience to the global marketplace. Over 15 personalities make up the 11 shows that broadcast to over 100,000 listeners around the globe. Currently, we are streaming on WeTalkRadio.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We have something for everyone. Tune in at WeTalkRadio.com.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.